Good evening. This is Mae Bressel in Carmel, California, and it's tape number 484, March the 15th, 1981. I've been speaking for the last weeks on the program. The matter of the Wells Fargo banks in California, they have 343 branches, and the Beverly Hills Wilshire branch and several of the Los Angeles branches are having problems with missing money. The amount of money varies, whether it's $221.3 million or, as Harold Smith says, $200 to $300 million, and that this money has been circulating around and transferred from various accounts or gone for a period of 8 to 9 years. Knowing the cast of characters down in Beverly Hills and the way the CIA money operations operate, I immediately picked up that this was going to be a big story, and there's no doubt about that it will be covered up, but the people involved, such as Muhammad Ali and Harold Smith and Mr. Lewis and Gene Kawakami, the various people that have been named as being part of the embezzlement plan, have let out enough information to cover the fact that they're not going to be fall guys for the case. Muhammad Ali says that he's guarded by the CIA. Harold Smith says this involves the Japanese mafia. They're all involved in narcotics traffic, made trips down to Australia, and a lot of millions of dollars floating around. And they have hinted where to pick up other managers of the bank, and sure enough, the Hollywood branch was missing $3.5 million, and the Marina Del Rey branch was missing several million dollars. I want, again, to refer to the Wells Fargo as often as is necessary, and also the Nugent Hand Bank. Some members of my family were confused last week because I was jumping from one bank to the other, and many of you might be confused, but this program is on every week. We've been going 9 years, and it is somewhat a real-life soap opera. It involves real people, but we don't backtrack too often if people are interested in the past tapes, and if it's confusing, you can send for a printed sheet with the bibliography each week, or you can get the past cassettes, because there's no way that we can keep going back and redefining the situation. Nugent Hand means Frank Nugent and Michael Hand, two men from the CIA, from the Green Berets, who were in Southeast Asia in a counterintelligence operation with Mr. Colby of the Phoenix Program, and then became presidents of a bank in Sydney, Australia, that was a funnel for CIA narcotics money, counterintelligence money, and CIA dollars put there and then sent to other countries around the world to influence the politics coming back into the United States and also in the countries where this money was received. And I do feel that the link of the Wells Fargo people going down to Australia and the Australian CIA money will connect, and that the part that they're hinting to, the big story that Muhammad Ali and Harold Smith are hinting about or talking about, has to do with where the money went when the Nugent Hand Bank collapsed, when Frank Nugent was murdered and Michael Hand disappeared. Where did the money go? Who has it? And what was it earmarked for? And it's my belief that it went into Jonestown, to creating the Jonestown Experimentation Center for Mind Control and Body Experimentations, and even to the funding of the murder of John Lennon through Mark David Chapman, or the CIA money and the trips and the journeys of Jean Harris, the woman that killed Dr. Tarnower. And therefore, I'm watching these banking operations very closely, and in the news, putting the pieces together, and also taking a map of the world and marking out, I have Sydney, Australia, and then fanning out to the countries that have already been recognized as places where the Nugent Hand money was delivered, which countries, and I do that in a black pen, and then I took a green pen and took all the places that the Wells Fargo people, the countries that they have been known to be visiting, such as Hong Kong and Australia, and their trips to Guyana, such as Muhammad Ali, to see Burnham down there, and then to Australia, and the traveling of the Wells Fargo people. And then in blue ink, I put the travels of Jim Jones from Indiana to Belo Horizonte in Brazil and back to Indiana and Ukiah, California and San Francisco and Los Angeles and Arrows, blue paint, to London and Germany. His money came from London, Germany, and Canada that set up Jonestown. And then Mark David Chapman from Texas to Georgia to Lebanon, from DeKalb County in Georgia to Lebanon and back to Tennessee and then to Hawaii and then to Georgia and then New York and back to Hawaii and then to New York when he shot John Lennon. And I know that certain names or people that I bring up will be confusing for a person who's not familiar with these broadcasts, but you can write to me at P.O. Box 22511, Carmel 93922, and get printed sheets, as I say, and lists of past tapes to get into this subject. Another subject that I talked about several weeks ago, the murder of Valerie MacDonald, has one story in the news this week. Now, that case involves three men that were described as the largest narcotic gun-running operation on the West Coast. And all of these operations, incidentally, have funds of money going to right-wing military junta in El Salvador. And there was an article in the Examiner this last week by Ivan Sharp on this Facey girl. And the description of Valerie MacDonald makes it sound as if she definitely also has a double personality and could be involved in a mind control or a CIA operation before she even met up with Mr. Hennessy, who was murdered shortly after she was dead, and Mr. Abbott, and a Mr. Thompson, who's out on $5,000 bail, even though he's a known murderer with a long list of arrests. This article talks about how she had two personalities, and she was a bright girl and a college graduate, and her life in San Francisco at the various bars and trying to get bit parts in movies as an actress. And it describes her South American boyfriend that she went through with him for a while. That romance didn't last too long. He was from Venezuela. Reminds me of Carlos, the great terrorist from Venezuela. And these people were involved in getting weapons for South America and cocaine, trading cocaine money for shipping more weapons down, and specifically down to El Salvador. The description of the article, as I say, is one that mostly goes into her personality and her spaciness. It doesn't say why the man who she was familiar with hasn't been picked up, or the two men haven't been charged with her murder, even though her possessions were in their warehouse and so forth. They're still out loose and haven't been charged with that murder. That's a $5,000 bail for Mr. Thompson. In the Bay Area in Santa Cruz, a drug place was raided, and they picked up people who were making some PCP and marijuana and so forth and put them on $1 million bail. But a known murderer out of San Quentin with a group of people having illegal weapons and a notorious past, he's out free. And I think the reason he's out free is that it would link again to the Wells Fargo operations and counterintelligence, and that he's out doing what he has to do, and they're not going to have him locked up. After last week's program on the Nugenhan Bank, I obtained through one of the listeners a copy of Counter Spy. I guess my subscription ran out, so I'll have to get a new one. It's November 1980 and January 1981. They have an update of another area, Colonial Dignitad, that I was interested in and did tapes on. It's, and they have an article in here on CIA in Turkey, and an article of CIA banking in Australia, the Nugenhan Bank. And this article, it goes even further than some of the things that I've been able to obtain so far, and it's written by Conrad Eeg, E-G-E, K-O-N-R-A-D. And Conrad Eeg wrote for Counterspy the article on Colonial Dignitad. That's that encampment between Chile and Argentina that is used by the CIA and assassination squads headed by Nazis from Nazi Germany, Nazi war criminals, and it's a safe haven for them in Chile. And there have been books and articles that Martin Bormann and the Nazis were behind the killing of John Kennedy. They were all involved with the Alpha 66 team that have done murders and bombings in the United States and all over the world. So Conrad Eeg is familiar with Colonia Dignidad, and he wrote this article on Nugent Hand. I called him in Washington this week, and he hadn't made any connections of Nugent Hand yet to Jonestown, hadn't even thought about it, so I said I would send him the information. But some of the things that he mentions in this article, in case you don't get counter-spy, or won't get it for a while, he talks about the International Bank, the Nugent Hand Bank, in the late 60s, this is towards the end of, I suppose, 67 or 68, the time period just when Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy were assassinated. Michael Hand, a former U.S. Green Beret in Vietnam, moved to Sydney, Australia, where he worked for Air America, a CIA proprietary involved in opium smuggling. According to information in the Australian National Times, he had been assigned to the CIA's Phoenix Assassination Squad in Vietnam. And this is exactly what I thought, that the Nugent Hand money was specifically for assassinations. It goes on to say that in 1973, their business was doing well, and they set up banks in the Cayman Islands, Saudi Arabia, West Germany in Hamburg, Malaysia, Thailand, Hong Kong, Singapore, the Philippines, Argentina, Chile, the United States, Hawaii, Annapolis, Maryland, and Washington, D.C. Now, the money for Jonestown, the deposit of Jim Jones and some of the banks was in Panama. There was money in Germany, Switzerland, England, and so forth. And Chile and Argentina, those are the two borders with Colonia Dignidad right in the middle that were receiving CIA money at this time in 73 is the time when Jim Jones was setting up Jonestown towards the end of 73 and renting it. I mentioned it last week. And this operation of assassinations, the Phoenix program, and so forth, was sending this money to those places. This article said in January of 1980, January 27th, Frank Nugent's career came to an abrupt halt when he was murdered in his car. And I mentioned last week that the body was exhumed to make sure it was him again. They're that nervous about it, although there have been no stories in the newspaper at all in this country. They are in England and in Australia. The Nugent Hand Bank, according to Conrad Eeg, was for covert CIA operations set up by the CIA, and the bankers had heroin money as well as other CIA money coming in. They talk about two of the couriers for the money, Douglas and Isabel Wilson, who were killed shortly after they testified about this bank collapse, and a man, Mr. Clark, had been arrested for killing them. He also had killed Christopher Johnstone, and I mentioned him before. Now, the bank had four U.S. shareholders, and I'll give you their names because you may see their names in other articles. David M. Houston, H-O-U-S-T-O-N, Grant Walters, Robert Peterson, and Spencer Smith. Now, if any of those names come up in the arrangement of Jonestown or being with Jim Jones or other assassination teamwork, which they surely will tie together before too long, or with the Wells Fargo Bank, then we have a pretty tight case. It will take just a few pieces to put the assassination teams that were active in Southeast Asia back all over the world under the direction of William Colby, who came home to be the director of the Central Intelligence Agency. And as I wrote in the SLA is the CIA, he came home to do just that. I wrote that in 74. This is 7 years later, and now the pieces are coming together much better than I didn't have a view of this when I wrote the article, the SLA is the CIA, but I knew that Colby's role in there was to set up that counterintelligence on the West Coast and infiltrate all of the liberal or radical groups under Operation Chaos. Now, Conrad Eeg says the CIA had counterinsurgency experts. The top of their list was William Colby, former CIA director of the Phoenix assassination program in Vietnam. Colby's business card was found on Frank Nugent's body after he was killed. William Colby was introduced to Nugent by Walt MacDonald, a former chief petroleum expert for the CIA who was a consultant to the Nugent Hand Bank. And I mentioned his name last week. MacDonald was a close friend of John Paisley, and here we bring in the Lee and Marina Oswald assassination team contacts going back to the 60s to 62 when they came back to the United States. So these teams worked at the East Coast and in Southeast Asia and then combined up through 1970 when the bank collapsed. John Paisley, a close friend of Mr. Walt MacDonald, had a yacht on the Chesapeake Bay in Washington. And interestingly enough, according to E, when the yacht was abandoned and Paisley was murdered or another body was substituted and Paisley went off or lived, and like maybe Michael Hand has done, he had a direct communication satellite linked from his station to Pine Gap in Australia. Now, outside of Jonestown at Matthews Ridge, they had high-powered communications going into the United States all the time that were picked up on stations in the South and in San Francisco. So when Paisley disappeared in 1979, and that was shortly after Jonestown came down, he had direct contacts to Australia also, and he worked, Mr. Nugent Hand Group worked with Admiral Earl Yates from February 1977 to October 1979. And again, those include the Jonestown years and Mr. George Ferris in Washington, D.C. There's a Ferris who's in charge of the moral majority out of Washington, D.C. His name isn't George, but I've tried to find out if they're brothers and called around the country. I still haven't gotten that connection to see if that is the same Ferris family. Now, Conrad Ig says unbelievable amounts of money were being transferred by way of Nugent Hand. Money was coming out of Australia, and it was going into respectable banking circles. Now, those could be siphoned into the Wells Fargo branches in San Francisco and in Los Angeles that funded, heavily funded, the CIA program of the Jonestown operation. Right now, he doesn't make the connections to Jonestown, but he says it was going to respectable banking circles. Army officer Edwin Black, who I mentioned last week of the OSS, who was a chief commander in Thailand and Vietnam in the 60s, represented the bank in Hawaii. And it was to Hawaii where David Chapman went from for his training after he came home from Beirut and Tennessee to Hawaii to take his trip around the world and become programmed to be the program killer for John Lennon. A Nugent Hand's representative in Taiwan was a Dale Holmgreen, and we'll have to look up these names, and I'll put them on the printed sheet for you. Now, this article by Conrad Ig says that the Nugent Hand Bank was involved in a number of CIA-connected projects, including resettling Indochinese refugees into Latin America and the Caribbean, and they were going to bring in the Laotians, the group that had grown opium, the Miao tribesmen, and bring them to the Caribbean, allegedly to the Grand Turk Island. And I mentioned last week that they were bringing these tribesmen through Billy Graham's son into Guyana and arranged with Burnham to bring the tribesmen to Guyana so that the Nugent Hand group that was bringing the Laotian tribesmen to the Caribbean area is absolutely connected with the Nugent Hand counterintelligence assassination teams in Guyana. I mean, I'm sure that the money that was in that bank went into these operations because Guyana was to be used for Laotian tribesmen. And furthermore, this article talks about using for the CIA resettlement in Latin America, an area that belonged to a British island that would be secret. It's off of the Puerto Rican area. And people from Guyana were taken from Port Kaituma to Puerto Rico or an army base if they broke their arms or legs. And there was talk right after the death happened in Guyana of the 923 people there that many were flown out to another air base. It wasn't the United States. It wasn't San Francisco to home base or a doctor. So the money from Nugent Hand probably was running both camps, the one outside of Puerto Rico And I asked about this, if this settlement place on the Turk Island was developed, because according to this author, Conrad, he thinks that it didn't get off the ground. But I said, did you get there? Did anyone ever investigate or see it? And he said, no. Conrad Egg had not seen it. He wrote that the Australian bank, the Nugenhan Bank, had a secret slush fund organization to channel CIA money to pro-American political parties in Europe. Millions of dollars were secreted into the bank's Australian operation, then went to Europe. It went to Italy, and William Colby's initial assignment was to provide money to the Italian Christian Democrats. The CIA transferred money, $2.4 million, to the Australian Liberal Party, and director of the CIA, Colby, was part of this operation. Conrad Eag talks about James Jesus Angleton and his work in the CIA for 31 years. He retired in 1974, but he had strong links to Australia and the CIA. And there were footnotes to this article, and I'll put those on the printed sheet also, so you maybe can go to a library and get the Sydney Morning Herald and the Australian Tribune and pick up some of these stories. He also has reference here to the Nugenhan Bank having a CIA connection. He says the bank was not the only CIA-connected bank as a tax haven in the Caribbean, and he refers to the Castle Bank in the Bahamas that the Wall Street Journal described April 18, 1980, as a big tax haven that turned out to be earmarked for CIA money of clandestine operations against Cuba and other covert intelligence operations. And some of the anti-Castro Cuban operations were carried out by CIA operatives working from the Andros Island in Bahamas. Well, the anti-Castro Cuban people were directly linked to Chile and Argentine, to Colonia Dignidad, through the CIA money. And that Wall Street Journal article on the bank in the Bahamas, that was a CIA outpost for billions of dollars, implies that money siphoned out and went to other places headed by a former person from the OSS, important in the OSS and CIA, and was used for clandestine operations in Latin America and Far East. This story first broke at the time of Watergate, and the Washington Post article just came out this last April in 1980 out of Nassau, Bahama, and it's called A Rich Haul. It involves $250 million in assets. But there was pressure of the CIA not to go into the biggest tax evasion case of all times because the Justice Department called it national security not to go into the Castle Bank because millions of dollars were earmarked for the CIA for clandestine operations. Now, this is what I've been trying to say on these programs, is that the money in various banks that have collapsed or have terrible scandals of many millions of dollars, that money is siphoned out for assassination teams, and not just for picking up information about how many troops Russia has in Afghanistan. We don't have time, the intelligence community, to add up major changes in policy that are taking place, because the bulk of the money is spent either for assassination teams to kill heads of states or to silence the witnesses who know or to pay off the killers. And I think the big hunk of these budgets is going to blackmail. And one reason the banks can't support this is that they are missing all of this money that is siphoned into them. And as the bank collapsed, the people along with them who have money in the bank would also lose it. And the banks are in too shaky a position now. The Wall Street Journal article talks about the Castle Bank that was set up by the late Paul Lionel Edward Helliwell, H-E-L-L-I-W-E-L-L, a Miami lawyer with a network of CIA agents. He worked in the Bahamas and the Cayman Islands, with based in Panama. Again, those are the close links to the Nugenhan and to Jonestown, who had a bank in Panama. And it tells about certain clients that he had, well-known clients, among them Maurice Dallas. And Dallas has been named with his connections to Jack Ruby and Traficano and Marcello and Sam Giancana as part of the original assassination team coming out of Las Vegas. Mr. Helliwell was 62 when he died in 1976. He led a life of spying. According to the Wall Street Journal, in World War II, he was in special intelligence and in the office of the OSS. And he headed a company, the Sea Supply Corporation, for 10 years that supplied weapons and equipment to the nationalist Chinese troops in Burma and in Thailand. And he was one of the CIA's finance channels of operation. Now, again, Mr. Paisley and Marianne Hart, Paisley's superior, and his wife were involved in channeling money from the CIA out to these various clandestine operations that were assassination teams. The investigation of the bank was stopped because the CIA said it's national security and there's no way you can get in to look into these exchanges of money because you tap right into the CIA. There was a case before the Security Exchange Commission called the Intercontinental case, and when they got into it, there were $3 million that inexorably disappeared. It was into a Bahamian holding company with interest in real estate and utilities and harbor management, and when they went into it, the $3 million went from a bank in Canada, and then the $1.3 million was discovered missing, and portions of that money will never be put back because they're CIA money. Now, the money that's missing at Wells Fargo, the $1.3 from one branch, the $3.5 from another, the $21 million from another, $200 to $300 million, has to tap in, and I believe it taps in, to the Colby counterintelligence operations and a lot of the mind control that is happening in South America, but is coming from Stanford Research, from the University of California in Los Angeles and San Francisco, and the federal money is making it possible for these agents to travel all over the world and operate, and people like Mark David Chapman to have their trips around the world to connect their art, collect the art, and so forth. So there is this article from CounterSpy on the Nugenhand to add to our literature on the Nugenhand. There isn't much in the newspaper this week on the Wells Fargo case. It's very, very quiet, and I'm sure that it will be closed up just like the bank in the Bahamas because of the links of the intelligence community. One of my subscribers to the tapes each week sent me another article from the Wall Street Journal last week, and in this article, the Wells Fargo people were saying, well, we're not losing much money. $21 million isn't much. That's small. Talking about past bank frauds. And it refers to other banks, such as the $45 million of the Franklin Bank in New York. Well, that was linked to Michael Sindona, the secretary, the treasurer of the Vatican, and the Gambino family and organized crime and the investments of the Vatican. And that went into counterintelligence. They referred to the Swiss Credit Bank as a spinoff with $800 million that went through their book accounts. That $800 million and Credit Suisse was named, Swift was in the Torbit document as funding Permandex and the assassination teams. They referred to several other banks, and each one of them was involved with dirty tricks or counterintelligence. One of the largest was down in San Diego, the U.S. National Bank, the largest fraud-induced bank collapse in history. And that was C. Arnold Smith, Richard Nixon's friend and one of his first benefactors and a strong person behind the Ronald Reagan machinery and linked to Arizona and Barry Goldwater and counterintelligence group throughout the whole Southwest. So the Wall Street Journal names four or five banks that collapsed that were much bigger than the Wells Fargo case. But the point is that the very ones they mentioned have come up in the research that various people are doing on the assassinations as being the banks that were funding dirty tricks and counterintelligence. And it almost proves again that the banks that had the biggest collapse were siphoning the money out to the CIA or for private armies for counterintelligence to keep the people from being able to control their own news media or their own productivity. This is almost the end of the first half of the tape. We'll take a one-minute break, and I'll go back into some more interesting stories of the missing money because I think we'll be doing this for a long time.